Welcome to this edition of Eating Fresh on Bainbridge with Joe Pulicicchio, Director of Promotions, Produce and Floral, Town and Country Markets. And this is all part of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by Barn, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. Joe, it's been a long time since we talked. In fact, over 2 years due to the pandemic. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Bob. It's been overdue. We've been overdue to do this.
Absolutely. I mean, I think about this often, and finally we're doing it. We're sitting here in our podcast studio and ready to go. Well, tell us what's been going on at TNC and what's going on in the produce world. But, you know, to just open up the discussion, I'm holding in my hand a pomelo, is that correct?
It's a pomelo.
A pomelo, okay. And this, to me, looked like a giant orange when I walked into TNC yesterday. Saw a stack of them. Tell us what I have here.
Well, actually, you have a variety of pomelo that's been bred to be pink. The grower is Rising Sea Ranch, and they've named this pomelo the Valentine. Pomelo.
Okay.
Partially because it comes on right around this early February period in time.
Yeah.
But the other part is that it's pink. Most pomelos are yellow or they're not got that red hue to them when you peel them. But beauty of a pomelo is that it pretty much you can peel it, you can separate the segments, and you can actually take the membrane off the segments so that it's just the little pulp that's in the segment of an orange or whatever. This allows you to do that, and it's a really good eating experience.
So are these going to be on the sweet side, sour side, or can
they're sweet.
Pardon?
They're sweet.
Okay, good. So it's a nice thing to share with your sweetheart on Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, what else is going on this time of year? We're sitting here and almost the middle of February, and so what's cooking?
Well, a lot of things are getting better. So let's start off with the things that are getting better.
Uh-huh.
We have really struggled this year through January and early February with red berries. And most of that is entirely related to weather. The red berries, strawberries, and raspberries, they just do not do well with rain in California this year, which is great for them that they're getting a lot of rain this year. It's not great for the berries. So really, strawberries through January and first week or two of February have really, really struggled. We've avoided promoting them, not only because they're expensive, but it's kind of been that deal where you got to have them, but you're not exactly proud of how they're eating. Oddly enough, though, this very week, we just got our first couple of batches that came in where we're pretty excited about the eating quality, and it looks like weather conditions have improved in California. So we're looking forward to, in the next couple of weeks, starting to really ramp up promoting strawberries and raspberries.
Okay.
We've relied on blueberries and sweetest batch blackberries for January and February. Number one, blackberries don't mind the weather.
Yeah.
And blueberries come from different regions. So that sweetest batch blueberry, in my opinion, is the best eating blueberry of the year. It rivals the local blueberries at peak of season. Only in the winter. Ah. It's a very exclusive variety that goes into that pack by this grower. And they only allow that variety that eats that way to be in that pack. They don't just pack any variety of blueberry in there. So we have regular blueberries, and then we also have the sweetest batch blueberry, which it's a premium to get them, but it's worth it. I mean, if you really, like me, blueberries are my favorite berry.
Oh, yeah.
And if you really love the flavor of a nice, sweet blueberry that's still firm and, you know, pops, it's got that great flavor, that's the way to go.
Yeah, they're great on Cheerios. They're great in muffins. Even throw them in scones.
I just eat them out of the pack, like berries, just snack, sure. Like raisins.
Okay, so sounds like berries are coming back on. What else is cooking?
Well, the next thing we're probably pretty excited about is we're just getting our first deliveries of the later season seedless grapes. We happen to be pulling them out of Peru. There is no USA-grown grapes right now. And it's still too early for even being grown out of northern Mexico. But when it comes to grapes, it's always, always the second half, in fact, maybe even a little beyond the halfway mark of the season, that the best varieties of berries come. And the berries I'm referring to is grapes.
Yeah.
The berry, the grape itself is bigger, the skin is thinner, and they're crispy. So we have arriving some double jumbo size red celebration grapes. We're pretty excited about those. And we have the Autumn King variety arriving any day now. And so over the next 8 weeks, we will go through a few different varieties of red and green seedless grapes like that will be, they'll be exceptional. They'll be big, they'll be crispy, and they'll be sweet.
That your description of them that way, you know, you can almost feel one in your mouth and biting into it and popping kind of. It's what a really good grape does from, in my mind anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than having a sweet grape that's mushy.
Yeah.
You know, it's no character. Part of the eating experience of fruit and vegetables is the texture. You know, that texture and how it delivers the flavor is as important as the flavor itself. So
I think it's important for our listeners to really get a sense of what we're talking about here in terms of being able to have access to things like grapes this time of the year, if they want them, and the quality that's available. And we're talking about another part of the world where they're getting to the end of their growing season. So that's why these grapes are available.
Correct. We'll move to northern Mexico probably early May for a week or two, move right into California for the beginning of the California season right after that. But the best California-grown seedless grapes come, they actually start in about August, right in the first week or two of August and run through early November. And again, it's like I say, every growing region. So we really have in the world, you have Peru as a major grower, you have Chile as a major grower for the wintertime, and you have United States, America, and I'm sure in Europe they grow grapes as well. But, you know, their season is going to be start in the summer and it's going to finish in the late fall, just like down south, it starts, you know, opposite.
Sure.
You know, when you're down in South America, seasons are opposite.
So what does that mean in terms of availability of grapes for us here on Bainbridge Island as we get into our own season? You mentioned California coming on early. And then does the sort of grape growing kind of move north as the season goes?
Yeah. We'll move north with the season. We're not going to intentionally go further from home than we have to.
Yeah.
So we follow the sea. I like to say the spring moves north 30 miles a day. That's what I kind of go by that rule. Ah. It just keeps moving north. So you will see very early season grapes come out of California. They start at some point in May. They're generally those early varieties, smaller berries. You know, they're okay. They're a grape, but they're not the fantastic grape. And then by the time you get into about, I don't know, mid-July, second week of July, the grape region moves north again in California to the Arvin region. And that's where the better varieties start to show up. And you start to see the grape quality really, really improve. And then the best grapes, those are the grapes that get harvested, they get put away to be sold later. You know, it's just – and they're growing grapes now all over the world for flavor.
Yeah.
And they're not growing them just to be seedless. For a long time, they were just growing any grape that would be seedless. And it really didn't matter how it ate. It just seedless grapes were what people wanted. So you got sweet with no character. Now you have character. Some of the black seedless grapes are exceptionally good. That's where you've got now cotton candy grapes. Personally, I don't like them. I think they're too sweet, but there are people that love them. So we have all of those different varieties that we move through. So
So if people are going to go walk by the grape aisle, don't hesitate to pick up a bag to just taste them, because they can be quite a surprise if you haven't had a grape for a while.
Yeah. Never base a whole season on your first experience, because, you know, like when we go into stone fruit, you know, you're going to go through a new variety every 10 days.
Yeah. Last week, we got some mangoes that were really great. Mm-hmm. Made some salsa for some, I can't remember what tacos we had. Maybe it was fish tacos. Anyway, it was a great salsa out of mangoes.
Yeah. We're just now ramping up into the Atolfo mango. That's a yellow mango. Mm-hmm. It's generally a smaller size mango. But it is the first mango of the year that actually has a really great flavor. Some people even like it better than the late season ones, which are the Keat and those bigger mangoes that come. But the Atolfo is also, you may have heard of them being called a champagne mango. You may have also heard them being called honey manila. You know, there's several different names, but the variety is called Atolfo. And champagne happens to be a patented name by a company who patented that name for this yellow mango.
Okay.
And in the case of this mango, it really eats best when it's ugliest, I call it. You know, they come in, they can have a green hue to them that has nothing to do with how the flavor is going to be. But you don't want to eat them when they're like that. You want to wait till they turn full color. And you may even want to wait until they get a little wrinkling going on. And they may even have a few little black dots on them. That's when that mango is ready to eat.
And
that's
good advice.
Really, really creamy. It has a super sweet tropical flavor. But what I like about this particular variety is that it has at the finish kind of just a little bit of a kind of a tart end to it. So it gives it a really unique flavor. And Jim Foley, our produce specialist, he actually prefers this one because of that finish on the end of it. He thinks it tastes better. And it, by the way, it does make a great salsa.
I've heard people talk about mangoes from the standpoint of, they look interesting. I don't even know how to cut one open and harvest it from the inside. What guidance can you give there?
Well, the best guidance I can give you is look it up on YouTube or Google it, because you can look and actually watch a video.
Yeah.
A mango seed is a flat seed. It's flat, and it follows the shape of how if you lay a mango down on the flat side, so that it's wider where it's laying, that seed lays the same way in there. And basically, you take a sharp knife, so be careful, and you start at the top, and you go into the mango and find that flat side of that seed. Once you do it, cut along that flat part of the seed all the way through.
Okay.
Then you can take that mango, turn it over, you score it into cubes without cutting through the skin, and then invert that skin to pop those cubes out, and then you can slice those cubes off of there.
Yeah, similar to how some people do an avocado.
Yeah, exactly.
Same kind of approach.
Except an avocado's a round head.
Yeah, round seed. I always love opening an avocado and pulling it in half, then taking my knife and hitting that seed and twisting it out.
Yeah.
And if you get your avocado at the right time, they pop right out.
A little secret on an avocado, too. The best way to pick those is, I call it the button on the top.
Yeah.
So you want an avocado should not be overly soft. You don't want it to be mush. Otherwise, you get baby food. So you want it to have a little bit of a give to it. But really, the best way to check it is if it still has that little button on the end. Yeah. And with Haas avocados, they turn black on the outside. The skin goes from green to black. Then if you can flick that button off pretty easily, and then inside underneath that button, it's got that green avocado color. That avocado will be not only ready, but it won't have black spots inside or any of that. It'll be great.
Okay. Well, that's a good insider tip. I like that. That's cool. Okay. What about asparagus?
Oh, asparagus. We talk about asparagus often. Yeah. So we are just now getting into our first of the season new crop, Mexican-grown asparagus. You start in October in Peru. I like to say that's the start of the season, the summer season down there. Mm-hmm. Then you move to Mexico in the south, and then you move north in Mexico to just not too far across the border to the new crop in usually early February. This year, it's kind of been a little bit slower to respond. But like I say, with asparagus, the first of any growing area, doesn't matter where it's at, that first few weeks is the best tasting asparagus. It's like asparagus is a form of grass.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And it's kind of like, you know, with everybody touts their cheese being made from the first spring grasses because that's the sweeter grasses, the healthier grasses for the cows, and it makes a sweeter milk. And,
yeah.
Well, it's the same with asparagus. That first of the season asparagus from any growing region is sweeter and better. And then we also lean towards buying the larger size asparagus. We stick with large to jumbo. Mm. And the reason for that is that the large to jumbo asparagus is a more tender asparagus. Okay. That real thin stuff is more fibrous and not as tender. In fact, if you go into Europe, into London, they would never be caught dead eating a thin asparagus.
Oh, really?
They eat, in fact, they'll buy extra jumbo is what they want. But we do, asparagus is probably our best example of, you know, we search the world over to buy produce and have great quality, and we don't intentionally go further from home than we have to get that quality produce.
Yeah.
We want to be closer to home as much as we can, but we also don't want to sacrifice quality to do that. So
sure.
We move north with that. So our move from Peru to now we're in northern Mexico, I think that's got to be at least 2,000 miles closer to home, at least 2,000.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And then we'll move to California in usually right around the middle of March. We make that move to California. And we do that in spite of the fact that we could stay in Mexico and buy asparagus much, much cheaper. I mean, a lot cheaper, like 50% the cost.
Wow.
But we have a relationship with a grower in California, Steve Smith from Turlock Fruit. They also grow all of our summer melons, our cantaloupe, our orange honeydew. We'll talk about those in a later one.
Yeah.
But he grows a fantastic asparagus. It's a peacock label. So when you come in late March and you see the peacock label, that will be USA grown asparagus. He picks it. He really works hard with us to harvest it, pack it, and get it shipped to our markets as fast as possible. He's not just warehousing it and waiting for somebody to come and buy it. So we work with him to try to get it to market as quickly as possible so it's as sweet as possible. It's the best flavor. And we want to support him. He's one of the last few California asparagus growers really that are surviving because California is struggling to compete with Mexico-grown product when their season starts.
Oh.
And so a lot of these stores are just looking to buy, well, what's the cheaper? You know, and we've made the decision that in sticking with our commitment to not go further from home than we have to, we move north. And we're lucky to have Steve Smith and the asparagus he offers in March for us. And then I'm going to say we hold on to that all the way into about mid-April, and then that's when we're looking to make the move to Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, hometown stuff.
Yeah, hometown stuff.
Yeah. Does it taste any different to you?
I think there's a unique flavor for the – when we moved to California, I think there's a noticeable difference in the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, there is one when you move into Washington.
Yeah.
A lot of times the Washington asparagus, it kind of has that little bit of a purple hue to it, even though it's green asparagus.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can buy purple asparagus. But you also, green asparagus, the Washington stuff, you'll notice when you first get it has a little bit of that purple hue to it. I think that's related to the colder temperatures here. Asparagus grows really fast and quick in warmer temperatures. And here it's, our temperatures aren't always, you know, 95 and ground temperatures don't heat up as fast either. So,
well, to wrap this discussion up, Joe, what... And focusing on asparagus, what do you think, do you have a favorite way to prepare asparagus?
Well, if you ask my wife, the favorite way is to steam it in a pan with just a very little bit of water and just salt and pepper. That's how we eat it. And
yeah, I like it that way too.
But I also like it grilled. I like it grilled on barbecue and, you know, a little bit of olive oil on it. To give it that ability to kind of maybe sear up a little bit. Kind of roll it around on the barbecue at the end. It doesn't take very long. And then you can either salt and pepper it, or I also like it with a little bit of Parmesan on it.
So one thing I picked up from you in our discussion about asparagus is don't be afraid of those bigger ones. They're the ones that have some flavor associated with them and good texture.
Yeah, they have great texture. It's a tuber, so
yeah,
all the tenderness is in the inside of the asparagus, not the outside. You know, and the other thing is the only thing to avoid is you don't want to buy asparagus that has very much of that white on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking green asparagus because there is white asparagus, which is all white. Now, that's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
And that one's tender all the way top to bottom. But on the green asparagus, you know, we try to get asparagus that doesn't have a bunch of that white that was on the bottom, because that can be really fibrous. If any of you had asparagus where you eat it all the way to the bottom and it gets really fibrous, that's the part you don't want. So the idea is that get it all the way to – buy good asparagus. You got to pay for good asparagus. It's a very difficult crop to harvest. It's very labor-intensive to harvest. I couldn't do it. Personally, I couldn't do it. My back would be out within 10 minutes. But
yeah, because each stalk has to be cut, right?
Each stalk has to be cut. And you walk through a field that looks like nothing's growing in it, but there is.
Yeah.
And you have to hand cut that and put it in a tray, and you walk through this field bent over to pick it up. And in fact, in California and Mexico, where the regions that are hotter, the ground temperatures are warmer, there's times that they harvest in the morning and then they harvest again in the afternoon, because the asparagus can grow as much as 3 to 5 inches in a day.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I didn't know that. That surprised me a few years ago when I went down and they said, yeah, we actually harvest twice a day. Because that one that might be just a couple inches too short in the morning, maybe by the next day, maybe too long. So they come back through in the field. They only pick the ones that are ready to pick.
Ah, gotcha.
So.
And they're experts in telling, I'm sure. Well, we've covered a lot of territory here.
We have. But, you know, it's been a while. So
yes, it has been a while. And so we've agreed that we're going to do this on a monthly basis. And so we'll set our next session for about a month from now in March. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about what's going on at that time of year. And is there anything we can start to think about that will be coming down the aisle in March?
Yeah, so if I was thinking about the last half of March, you know, we're going to be starting to get our spring harvest artichokes, you know, in the next couple of weeks, but they really will peak second half of March and into April, the bigger sizes. So artichokes, that's one to look for. We'll be talking more about that. By then, we'll have a window into kind of how the grapes are doing out of the end of the season grape, and when we're looking to make the move north into California. And we should be able to talk more about red berries. We should have a lot going there. And the starting of some of the melons starting to roll in.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, Joe Pulicicchio, thank you so much for coming back.
Happy to be here, Bob.
It's really been fun. And thank you for listening to this edition of Eating Fresh on Bainbridge, part of What's Up Bainbridge, and brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.